Welcome back to SACPA, the last session of the year. Just before I bring Suzanne and Chris back up here, I want to explain the process for the questions. We SACPA believes that in a democracy, an informed populace makes the best decisions. And we're very fortunate to have Suzanne and Chris here to answer your questions. This is a big project, important project, a project that's going to be significant in many ways. I'm sure there's many questions people have. You will please come to this microphone on my right-hand side, ask a question, one question per customer. Say your name, please, before you ask your question. And Chris and Suzanne, would you like to come up and... So, the microphone's available. Don't trip over each other getting there.
JCPenney. I apologize, I was late earlier. Is there any inclusion of working with like the school boards or the university to have a co-located facility for the city to help defray cost?
When we started forward on this initiative to address arts facilities in the community, we did put together a steering committee that had membership from the users of the current arts facility, the University of Lethbridge, Economic Development Lethbridge, the college, some of the players. The school boards weren't involved at that stage as we were assessing the current running and use of the facilities, although information was fed to us from the schools. Moving forward, as we move into the planning phase for actual facilities, anybody that can be accessed who would have interest in those facilities will be called into those planning processes. So although these projects seem like they're going to take a long time to happen, in a way it's a good thing because it's going to allow for all of those conversations to take place with all the people who have an interest. Our feeling is we're going to do this once, probably in the next 100 years, and we really want to get it right. These are buildings that will be in our community, if they're done well, forever. They won't disappear.
My name's Cheryl Bradley. Suzanne, you mentioned that there's going to have to be a lot of work in the community to get art back into the lives of people. I'm wondering if you have information that suggests the community would be resistant to this project, and that's why you feel there needs to be a lot of work in the community, or is it just a general sense that art needs to be in people's lives, or is it art needs to be in people's lives to support this project?
Well, I think we believe, as Allied Arts Council, and I think the majority of people in the arts community believe that arts need to be in people's lives because arts are good for people. And it actually is, it's even more than that. It isn't that arts are good for people and they need to be in people's lives. I think we believe that arts are in people's lives, and perhaps they don't realize that. When you turn on the radio and listen to a song, you're making a choice around what touches you, you know, what creative activity touches you. So at some level, we all have arts in our lives. When you pick the color of dishes, you're making an aesthetic choice. And I think what we've seen through time is that in some way people have started to feel that they aren't creative people. You hear it all the time, I don't have a creative bone in my body. Well, that's just nonsense. That's what makes us human. It's intrinsic. It's part of us. And I think the work that we're trying to do is to give people opportunity to understand that that is part of them. If we do that, going out to the community about the buildings will certainly become easier. The big thing, though, is to get people back involved in the arts and recognizing that it is part of who they are.
It just occurred to me that when we were meeting with the aldermen, we met with each alderman in groups of two, and the mayor as well, to get a feel for where they were at and how we can speak to them and encourage them to move forward in this direction. You know, one of the messages we were getting back was that, the community as a whole has to speak in favor of these things, because otherwise they will not move in that direction. You know, it's a political thing. So maybe it's a reaction on our part, this kind of mode that we're in, that we just have to encourage people to be more vocal about the arts, period, that everyone should be more vocal about it in the city and the importance of it in their lives. That's all. And to participate in all of this and not sit back and get, everybody should have their fingers in there, I think.
Are you done?
Yes.
My name is Ralph Hemsel. I'm wondering if you have in mind sort of a picture of what the building might look like. Maybe it's too early in the planning stage, but I'm thinking of how beneficial that would be, because some of the great buildings of the world, some of the cities are identified by the great buildings in them. I think of the Museum of Man in Ottawa and the National Art Gallery and art gallery in Bilbao, Spain. Nobody knows anything about Bilbao except that art gallery. So I'm wondering if you've given some thought, or when you'll be coming up with a model to which we can all subscribe.
That's a very good question. Thank you. It's a really difficult one to answer because, yes, this is so early, really. The City Council has not approved anything, and I think that will happen in the planning stages. In our discussions, we've discovered in some other processes, there was a staged process in planning these things, so a building did not actually come out until maybe the third step of a three-step process. So it would be probably premature to have a model or an image of a building at this point.
Well, but I was thinking of a Quonset hut, and that sort of turned me off.
I think whatever building it is, I think you can be fairly confident that it's going to be a mixed-use building. There will be a commercial component to this building, probably. That's the choice of location is to help revitalize it downtown. So I think all of us are anticipating that if you look at this building, it will probably have a more porous ground floor, perhaps shops, perhaps other arts organizations, little spots like that. Eventually help revitalize that whole Chinatown area. And then in terms of size, one could anticipate that a building like the Performing Arts Center would probably take up at least half of that block. And the city would also like to, they speak of a plaza, they like to see some outdoor component potentially for, if there's a musical performance or something during the day, that it might occur in that spot associated with the building. So I think, there's a lot of different ideas, but I think it's really going to be not a pristine palace, but more like a people-oriented building. So I doubt very much we'll end up with a building like in Bilbao, which is, there's a term for that type of architecture, it's called starkitecture. And the reason for that is because that community went out specifically looking for an unbelievable name, unbelievable architect, so that you would remember their name of their city. And I don't think we'll be moving in that direction. We certainly don't have the funds for that. I hope that helps.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Nora Horn, and I have 100 questions. I was on the hospital board for 15 years. And during that time, I was 10 years on the planning committee for the new hospital. So I know what an undertaking this is. And one of the most important things, and I know it hasn't been definitely approved yet, but the cost of land. Has the city indicated whether they will donate the land or whether it will be... Do you remember the controversy over the purchase of that land? There was quite a lot at that time. And it is a very expensive piece of land, and that will add greatly to the cost of the building. So do you have any information on that?
The point that we're at currently is that that piece of property on First Avenue has been designated for the Performing Arts Center, and potentially if the expansion of the Bowman is not feasible because of structural concerns with that building, also a community arts center. So that is sort of the long-term vision. These buildings, when they are built, will be built by the city in partnership with the larger community. So they will be city-owned facilities on city-owned properties.
Okay.
So from everything that we've heard to this point, the designation of that piece of property, whether at the end of the day when, you know, the sod is turned, it is the one. There is a commitment from the city to provide land for that building at this point.
Oh, good. Thank you. Hi, I'm Ann Miller from Lethbridge. I just have a quick question for either of you.
Louder.
Speak into the mic.
Oh, okay. Is that better? I just have a quick question for either one of you who cares to answer. I wonder if studies or if it has been looked at what bypasses this city, what we lose in terms of the arts and other things, and even money, because we don't have an adequate performing arts center. I find it very disturbing, and I, like you, from talking to aldermen, don't really think they're committed to this concept. It's so far down the road, I'm afraid, like you mentioned, I think it was you, Chris, that they'll change their minds. Has that been looked at? Maybe that would change their minds or give them a little impetus. I was thinking of the Place des Arts in Montreal. For years, stuff went to the National Arts Center in Ottawa. My mother-in-law commented, too, that this was one of the little pushes that made them realize they had to put some money in a decent arts center. So I'll leave it to you guys.
That's an excellent question, and it's information that we were looking for when we began our steering committee, because that's obviously a big concern. Unfortunately, I think it's at the point where the city is aware that many people no longer come to Lethbridge because they're aware of the type of the facilities that we have here, and so we're just being bypassed. And so there is really no information like that. But we would anticipate, obviously, that it would be a dawn of a new era if we had a wonderful new performing arts center that was acoustically sound and something we could all be really proud of. Just a comment about the council. It's not that, I certainly hope I didn't say that they're not committed to it. I think there's probably not a uniformity of opinion on council as could be anticipated. And in some cases we know there's extremely strong support for the Performing Arts Center. And in some cases there is no support because the big question is, well, where's the money coming from? And city aldermen were anticipating, I think, in designating a chunk of land. Okay, there's the land. The land is settled. You can start to imagine it. And starting the planning process will hopefully bring some forces out of the woodwork that will help move this along. At least that's what we're hoping, that will move this along faster than a city council simply looking at the bottom line and saying, well, we can afford this, this, and this, but we really can't afford that right now. So I think, it's council is supportive of a performing arts center. It's just that for some, they can't resolve how to make the numbers work, really. So that answers your question.
Hi, my name is Jean Cook, and I'm here as a visitor. My question is whether 1,000 square feet or 1,000 to seat 1,000 for the concert hall is very realistic, especially when you are looking ahead at the growth of the city and you are looking ahead that it is going to probably double in size. And so I'm questioning whether that is written in stone. It's not.
No.
Good. Thank you. Thank you.
Just a bit further on that. I think that's, in all honesty, this presentation is a new one that we've made today with some new components to it. And we understand that the excitement is about the Performing Arts Center, but that's actually the least defined component of all of these projects. And the 1,000 seat is really just a number that's been thrown around. But we fully anticipate that during a design process, which will take a few years here, all of the different sizes will be looked at and their implications over a period of time. I'm not an expert in performing arts center design, but I anticipate there's people who are and know, you know, based on a city's projected growth. We are, by the way, growing at 1.5 to 2 times the rate that city council was anticipating, so you might be very well correct that we're going to increase in size. So it could be very well be a 1,500 seat, 2,000 seat, or 750 seat. I don't know. But most likely larger than smaller. So.
My name is Bob Anderson. Two things that you said have sort of sounded discouraging to me. One, it sounds like it's going to be a long time coming, and I may not be around to see it. The other thing is you've been talking local. Is it your anticipation that you might get funding from other levels of government? I realize our current governments, both of them, the arts is a very low priority. It's not something that they proceed vigorously to support. Are you anticipating involving other levels of government once you have a demonstrable effort made locally?
Yes, I think that truly we do recognize that the only way these projects are going to be realized is if funds are accessed from the provincial and federal government. And that will be all part of the planning processes to access those dollars that are out there and available and appropriate to the different projects. So that will be a huge part of the planning process, certainly. We understand that it cannot be done locally on the backs of just the local community. It's far too much. The other point that you raised about the timing, it's a really funny time to be moving forward because Alberta is in such a boom. And I think there are a couple of things about the timing that are important. One is that we want to do these projects well. We want to ensure that when they're planned and designed, that they're planned and designed to last for a long time. And I think those processes where you're out in the community and you're consulting and you're finding out who is interested and what their uses are and you're ensuring that everyone's needs are being properly addressed, that kind of work takes time. And we have time to do it. So I think that that's a good thing. The other problem that we're facing is that because we're in such a boom, the more projects you bring on all at once, the higher the cost of building goes. I mean, we all know that throughout this province right now, large jobs are going out to tender and nobody's picking them up. The cost of building is through the roof, and part of it's just because of the demands of the building. So I think as part of this initiative, which includes really four projects, four city projects, that part of that planning is to ensure that we get the best bang for our buck, that when the tenders go out, they're going to be picked up and the things are going to move, that we aren't going to run into situations where we've got projects sitting because we just plain and simply can't hire the people to do them.
Hi, I'm Rosemary Gattiker. I work at the University Theater. I have a question, but first of all, I'd like to get back to, I believe Mr. Himsel said, Ms. Miller, how many things we are missing, and I know that at least once a week I turn down an inquiry for a booking because our theater is busy. I always, you know, want to refer them over to the Yates, and they say, well, no, we started there. They're too busy. I've also worked on the Symphony Board, and I know that when the programming took us into Southminster, the following season, that particular date that we used to have in the Yates was gone. So we are really maxed out. But my question is, have you in any of your dealings with, you know, the whole planning process, talked to the people in the Medicine Hat? Because I know one of the persons who works there lives here or has family here. And I know that she said once the piece of land was designated, it still took them, I think, 7 years to have the Esplanade open. But she also indicated that once the city had committed the land, it was really surprising how much support came from the federal and the provincial government. So that gives me hope. And I forgot my question, so I'm going to go away now.
Actually, very early on in our formation of our committee, I met with Carol Beattie and talked to her over coffee about their process. And I think their process took a bit longer because they had so many diverse and different components going on in one building. And we actually talked about Medicine Hat and Lethbridge, comparing the two, and she said it was very interesting that in Lethbridge, you know, I take it to be richer that we have different buildings, different facilities, and not all in one big facility. And that makes for a richer downtown, a richer city, I think, at the end of the day. But in terms of planning the Performing Arts Center, I think it will happen in a good staged process. That's what she indicated, that they followed different stages of a process, and I think we're a bit further along because we know the need. They sort of started from a blank slate. The Esplanade experience started, I believe, maybe Suzanne, I'm wrong, but because their museum was in a building by the highway or something and was outgrown, or the building was falling apart or something. So it was actually the museum relocating that spurred on the whole process. So I think we're a bit further along than that. And we have the benefit of their experience to draw on as well, which the city of Lethbridge has done time and again. I know that project has been referred to, so we will benefit from that. You have great information, though. Thanks for asking that.
My name's Austin Fennell, and first of all, as my comment, I think you've got a huge challenge in raising the consciousness of the community that this is worthy to support. I think this is a big undertaking. There are people in this room who know how hard it is to sustain interest in the arts. They do that out of their personal experience, not out of necessarily their idealism. Perhaps it will be helpful to have some high-profile names as your consultants as a council, as an adult arts council, to help raise that profile. And I think that would be significant if people could see names, and those names are regularly attached to the undertaking. I think we also need to know what the deep thinkers are doing within the Allied Arts Council about fundraising. That certainly is one important issue, and anybody involved in some of the big public undertakings here in the city deal with that question all the time. So what's happening in your deep thinking about that?
Well, we know that raising that kind of money is going to be a huge, huge undertaking. We're in the initial steps of a capital campaign, and the first step is to sit down and start to build what the capital campaign looks like. The city of Lethbridge is working with the Allied Arts Council and representatives from the Yates and Southern Alberta Art Gallery at this point to develop a plan. They're helping us by bringing in a professional fundraising team, a group of people whose works, life work it is to build capital campaign plans. So we'll be meeting in a full day session with those people the first part of June to start building what our plan looks like, and it is going to be huge, and it's going to have many, many levels. So they will lead us through a process to start putting that plan together. They will help us define how we go about reaching out into the larger community. What are the parameters? What's reasonable for us to expect to be able to raise in the current climate? And everybody's out raising money too currently, and that's the reality. There are a number of projects that are ongoing in the community that are extremely worthwhile, that no one can doubt that they're worthwhile, but they're people out raising money. So that's our first step. After we do the work with that group of people, I anticipate that as a facility steering committee, we will launch a fairly public capital campaign that hopefully has been crafted in a way that will build momentum as it moves along and will grow interest in the community.
I was just thinking about recently Suzanne and other administration at the Allied Arts Council put together a huge application for Cultural Capitals of Canada, which is going to, hopefully if we get this, celebrate the 100th anniversary of our bridge, and that's in 2009, I believe. And I think that experience, coupled with the continued experience that Suzanne and other administration have applying for different things, will come in handy. But certainly if we get that Cultural Capitals grant approved from the federal government, that will really put us on the national radar screen and hopefully bring attention to our city across the country. So.
Well, we still have time for one or two more questions.
Michael Cormican here. I just found it interesting that you mentioned... Sorry, Michael Cormican here. I found it interesting that you mentioned a major refurbishing of the gallery, and I'm wondering if that should be maybe revisited if we're going to move ahead. Wouldn't it be better spending the money redirecting it into this project? Unless the intent is to maintain the Southern Alberta... the existing Southern Alberta Art Gallery. Can you answer?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
I think when Chris was presenting, he talked about the committee that was formed to talk about this. And this is an arts committee. It had membership from various areas of the arts, and they developed a set of core values around buildings. And one of the core values was that there be a recognition of the diversity of arts programming. So, that being said, as we've moved forward, we have not been supportive of a monolithic, one-size-fits-all structure for the arts in Lethbridge. The information coming from the arts community is it does not serve the richness and the diversity that multiple facilities that function for the programming of the specific field, the programming of that facility serves our community better in the long run and provides diversity and richness. So we aren't looking for a monolithic. One of the other pieces of it was we met together was that we were moving forward everybody's projects together. And quite honestly, I think the success going to council with these projects is because we didn't have four or three different sectors of the arts community going in saying, we want, give us. But what we had is the entire arts community speaking with one voice saying, These are the things that we have identified as arts community as needing to be addressed. It is a Southern Alberta Art Gallery. It is a community art center, and it is a new performing arts center. There are those three projects. We will not pick a priority. We need them all. Nothing has happened in this community for over 40 years, and you can't put one in front of the other. And I think that that is the strength of where we went to council with, and I think they appreciated having that information in front of them as that package, because they know that they're addressing the needs of the entire arts community.
My name is George Evelyn, and some of you will know that I've been fairly prominent in the arts community in this community for the last 26 years. My question deals with leadership. It's one thing to designate a parcel of land. It's another thing to say, here's the land. There's another thing that I would like answered is really who is on council, who is really behind this project, and can we expect some visionary leadership from City Council that's going to make this project come to fruition, or are we again going to watch, as has happened so many times in this community, having one thing said, and then next year something else comes up, and then something else comes up? I think it's time for action, myself. I think there's some money that could be utilized right now for planning and not waiting till 2010. And I'm just wondering where the visionary leadership is coming from.
You know, it would be wonderful if we could go out and start on all of these projects tomorrow. That would be fantastic. I think there is, in this current sitting today council, a real commitment to the arts community, and I think they have demonstrated that. I spent the better part of 3 days listening to them present the community services department, not all the other departments, but community service department, present their request to finance committee. There were, I believe, 14 projects that were placed on the table in very specific detail. So they had gone to a real planning process to define those projects. So there were 14 of them. At the end of the day, council sitting as finance committee put the 4 art projects into the 10-year plan. Now there are other things there, definitely. There's no doubt about it. They spent all their money. I watched as their identified money diminished. I know it's frustrating, and I certainly have been the recipient of lots of comments on what happened with the Bowman Arts Center over the years in terms of, I mean, they had it to a model stage, and that model went out the door, and it was out of the plan, and we really don't want to see that happen. But I think that there is an obligation for the community to step forward. Those people sitting as city can have the visionary leadership, but they are only going to go so far unless they feel that they have the support of the larger community. One of the initiatives that came forward from, and it's public knowledge, Alderman Sean Ward and Barbara Lacey brought forward a motion to do a tax increase of 1% cumulative over 3 years to ensure that those projects were all done immediately. It was defeated. Was I surprised? Hardly. Because I think that if I gave a guess and that hit the paper the next day, that there had been an increase of 1% to be cumulative over 3 years to build arts facilities in this city, that the majority of people in the city would have been absolutely outraged, and the city would have started getting the phone calls saying, how dare you raise my taxes? So I think they have really put themselves out there, and now it's our responsibility to pick up that challenge and take the message to the larger community, who knows, when they revisit in 3 years, if we've done a good enough job, maybe they'll be able to do that 1% without the citizens of Lethbridge going berserk. And maybe it will move forward. But I honestly believe that's our responsibility as artists, as arts organizations, and as people who believe in the arts.
Let's have a big hand for these brave individuals. And don't forget, 3 weeks from now, the annual general meeting of SACPA. Renew your memberships.